All right, go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. All right, Colossians chapter 2. I want you to read, but this is going to be kind of a preparatory message toward the birth of Christ. Verse 8. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophies and vain deceits, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him, that is Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principalities and powers. Now, when you think about what you are in Christ, Christ is this church that is perfect. There is nothing lacking in this church. There's nothing you could add to your position before the Creator to make this church any better than it is right there. And the problem is people are always wanting you to improve where you are. They want you to learn to speak better. They want you to act better. You know, well, if you couldn't do any of that, in the eyes of God, you're perfect. But He tells us to beware lest any man spoil you through philosophies and vain deceits after the traditions of what? Men. As if somehow some tradition could add to your completeness of verse 10. Or something that you do might add to that which you already are in Christ. And a good example, hold on to here, and go to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 6. He said, let him that is taught in the world communicate, the word, communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. Be not deceived. Well, then, I know that there's some traditions that can deceive you. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap, he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall reap, of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall reap spirit, of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now, think about what he's talking about in the passage, because he gets down to verse 12, and he's talking about a tradition of circumcision. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be what? They want you circumcised so they can say, hey, look, we added another one to our ranks. And they put pressure on you. And they manipulate you so that you feel like you're lacking something. Well, maybe you ought to be baptized, or maybe you ought to do this. They put the pressure on you to the point where you're not sure what to do. And I've seen this 100 times. The hardest thing you could possibly do is learn to walk in Christ. Because you know what? You're not walking the walk. You're trusting the walk. He's walking for you. That's hard to do. It's easier to try to say, well, I'm doing this. I'm going to go do that. I'm going to do this, this, and this. Well, come on. He says, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Because, hey, you know, you want to know how to make this church grow immediately? Well, you can celebrate Christmas. That's one of them. Well, have a cantata. What else? How about just baptizing
people? Nobody has over.
Instead of talking about the completeness and the fullness and the riches of Christ that you have as a gift, instead of talking about that, you start to have people do things and people will go, hey, I'm really in charge here. And they will start to enjoy where they think they're going in Christ. But go back to Galatians chapter 4, and then we're going to turn back to Colossians. You understand in Galatians chapter 4, he questioned these people of what they actually believed. I want to kind of cut into the context of verse 17. Galatians 4, 17. The Bible says, they zealously affect you, but not well. They don't affect you well. They don't affect you to a good state. They affect you, but not right. You see what he's saying? They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that you might affect them. Well, if they keep hanging around with them, eventually they're going to have to either agree with the Bible or be found a liar. Amos 3:3, how can two walk together except they be agreed? You may want to put that right there in your Bible. See, they don't want you to walk around. Well, you mean you don't believe in water baptism? No, but I do believe in baptism. You see, I do believe in baptism. I just don't believe in water baptism for the church. I believe in spiritual baptism into a body. And once you're brought into this body, I want to make that body a little bit bigger. Well, here, I kind of didn't like that. Once you're put into this body, you're everything that Christ is. You're holy. You're sanctified. You're justified. You're glorified. You're righteous. You're complete. I mean, it just goes on and on. So the only question is, how do you get in? Well, you get in there by one Spirit baptizing you into the body. That's not bad, that's P. By one Spirit are we all baptized. So what would water baptism add to that which you've already got in Christ? And the answer is nothing. But obviously there were some people that thought they might do something, and they would exclude you lest you might what? Affect them. Listen, it's different when you don't know anything about the Bible. It's another thing when someone sits down to talk to you and you know the answer, it'd be wrong for you to hold back. Now, I don't know if Junior and his family are watching tonight, and I hope they are. And that you guys, by the way, can text me at my regular cell phone number, but text only. Text only, please. In Galatians chapter 4, keep reading down. He says, but it's good to be zealously affected, always in a good thing. Why would you not want to be affected? I want to be effective. I want to be affected with a good thing. Y'all understand? I want to be overwhelmed, affected. Always in a good thing. And not only when I'm present with you, my little children, of whom I travail in birth until Christ be formed in you, I desire to be present with you and now change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? Do you not hear what the law is doing? Say, well, after you get saved, you need to keep the commandments. After you get saved, you need to keep the law, or you need to be baptized. And they would definitely affect you, you know that? But not well. In fact, in Galatians chapter 5, he tells you to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ profiteth you what? Nothing. Everybody, Christ profiteth you what? Nothing. Why? You're trusting your own flesh. You're trusting your ability to be, quote, whatever a Christian is. The necessary need to pray standing before food, or to be baptized, or to do whatever religious thing people do. And you know, you asked me about wishing people Merry Christmas. They have no idea. And unless I sit down with them, they have no clue what's going on. But come Sunday, you're going to have a small clue. And you're going to know the truth. And the truth will make you free. You know? Now let me tell you, you might not agree with me, but unless you've got a better answer, I'm going to stick with mine. I think I can explain when he was born, the end of September, 1st of October, within a week or two. And I can tell you that it's pretty well laid in the scriptures so that you know, without a shadow of a doubt. But people walk around and they don't really know why or what they're doing, or, you know, some even take pride in not doing anything. Yeah, they're almost arrogant about it. You got to say, hey, what's up? Because you don't want to be one way or the other, amen? You want to be moderate in what you do. But then he comes down in verse 3 again. You know, he says, if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing in verse 2. And then he says, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the what? If you're going to do one little bit of the tradition, you got to do it all. And you know what you need to write in your Bible right there? You need to get your Bible pen out and write James chapter 2, verse 10. And turn there and hold on to Colossians. We're going to turn back. And Galatians. We're going to turn back there first. 2:10. James 2:10. Galatians chapter 5, verse 3. And that's where James 2, verse 10 should go. Y'all there? Have I lost anybody? Okay, so there's a lot of things that people would have you to do. And, you know, they're always trying to put the burden on you. The burden is to stay with what you are in Christ. Amen? Just hang tight. He's done enough. Either he did enough, or you're going to damn well bust hell wide open. That's a fact. If he didn't do everything necessary, you are in trouble. Now, don't make any mistakes. You understand? What, as a idol-worshipping Gentile, as you eat your ham for Christmas dinner? Now, I got a little bacon in the refrigerator. I haven't got into it yet today, but we're going to get into it. Do you realize that's meat offered to idols? And how is it that we can justify in our minds that, hey, we really are these special people? Well, we go to the Sabbath, but I like a little bit of pork. I mean, I don't know about you, but on blue cheese salad, a crumpled thing of bacon on top is just about as good as it gets. What? No, those are soy. They're not even bacon. I'm talking real bacon. You know, you chop that real bacon and you put that blue cheese, that creamy blue cheese over, and then you sprinkle that. Oh, that is like, I wouldn't say heavenly because it's certainly not meat offered unto God, but it's delicious. And how is it that you go to church and you have a pork cookout? You know, I mean, think about it. I mean, if you're doing all the right things, why would you do that? You know why you do that? You like it. It doesn't seem like a sin to you. James 2, watch this. Verse 10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, he's guilty of what? See, it doesn't require 99%. You can't have 99.9%. You've got to make it to 100% or you're not going to make it. You understand? It isn't 99.9.9999. It's 100%. And the problem lies within the people to do what is right 100% of the time. And if you mess up in one point, what? The whole thing. Not just the 1.1% that you miss. The whole thing. The whole thing you're guilty of. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty hard to me. Anybody up for doing the law? Go back to Galatians chapter 5. What were you going to say, Miss Jean? We're not. Yes, you can. Don't be confused. Just go to Wayne's house. He eats anything that Wayne eats, you can eat. If you dare. Oh, turkey. Oh, that's a foul bird. Galatians chapter 5. Watch this. Christ has become of no effect, verse 4 here. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from what? You're not walking in grace. You're walking in the traditions and the rudiments. Brad Davis said he's going to slap some drums on that and send it to me. Whew. All right, where are we? Galatians 5, verse 4. Christ has become of what? No effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you haven't made grace better. You haven't enhanced your spiritual walk. In fact, what does it say? If you try to keep the law, you are fallen from grace. It's not sin that made you fall from grace. It's the keeping of the commandments that made you fall from grace. So Paul warns us, beware. Beware. Colossians chapter 2. Go back to Colossians chapter 2. Didn't think I was going to get back there, did you? Everybody asked about whether I was going to bring this, but this is brought to you by Brenda's Tea. It is so refreshing. Thank you, Brenda. We need one of those little add-ons so my teeth goes dink. Oh, did you? Yeah, that's good. It's hard to believe that me and Hannah think just alike. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophies and vain deceits, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of this world, and what? Not after Christ. You got that? For in Him dwelleth all the fullness. It's all about Him. Christianity isn't about you, it's about Him, and it's about your position in Him. Not about you. You're not any good. You ain't never been any good since your mama birthed you out of your mama's womb. You came forth lying, according to Psalms 51.
Turn to John chapter 1, not 1 John, John.
And you are complete in Him, are you?
Right there.
Say, I'm complete. Then don't let someone talk you into something that isn't.
I just want to use a
now,
verse here.
Now, you know, the problem with this whole passage
because it's,
is
it
there some other traditions
the world
that
we
suck
live
us
in an exceptional way. In other words, not a good way, but an exceptional
after
way.
The it's been a while since I've...
And the verse is verse 5.
At this, but the last couple
and
days...
And the light shineth in darkness... And the darkness comprehended it not. Now look over in chapter 3, I think it is.
I don't know. People ask me if I'm dying, I would say
in John 3.
Yes. So are you.
Here's why the darkness comprehended it not. Verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light. Because their deeds are evil. Now, the reason for people to not see and understand what the Lord wants them to do is because they make up their mind.
Ate half meals. You can ask Gary Simpson. Gary, did I not eat well?
Don't pay attention to the facts. They carry the
mantle. At the Mexican restaurant, I ate half of
my mind's already made up.
So half my vegetables and took the other half and ate them that night.
Some scripture here tonight about who we are in Christ.
Well, I mean, had chili pepper, but very mild.
And I want to implore you, don't make your mind up about what you believe about this. Just let the Bible say what it says.
I don't know.
And at the end, if I remember that I said that.
Often just like I was back in January.
At the end.
It must come in on January.
What I want to point out to you is,
end of the years.
We all have a ways to go.
And then we, too.
1 Corinthians chapter 3.
No, I just need
it takes four or five verses here to rebuke these folks just a little bit because they're still acting like babies.
That's what's scary.
And he doesn't think that they ought to be. Look with me, start in verse 6. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth.
When this thing comes on, it just drives you crazy. Huh? I know you don't want me around. You're trying to take the salary. I don't know what's wrong with me. Just pray for me. It comes and goes. It's been gone for a while, though, and all of a sudden it just started coming back. I have no idea. I was just seeing if Larry was paying attention. All right, where were we? Colossians chapter 2. And so he says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophies, vain deceits, after the traditions of men. So there are some traditions you got to be concerned of. And baptism is one of them. Y'all understand that's a tradition. But look at what he said in verse 12. Well, let's deal with 11. In whom? Christ. Verse 8. You see that? In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. Then do you need a physical circumcision?
No.
You've already been made that. You understand? In Christ, you've already been made circumcised. It isn't like you need to go out and get circumcised like the traditions, just like in Galatians. If you go out and physically get that circumcision, then you're a debtor to do the whole law. It isn't that you just get one point. You say, well, what about baptism? It's contained in the next verse. Let me read verse 11. In whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands in the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith and the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you what? So he circumcised you, he's baptized you, and he's forgiven you. You are complete in him. You don't need those traditions to perfect your faith. The tradition is not going to perfect your faith. You know what it's going to do? It's going to take away from the glory of God. When you start to trust those things and do those things, you are literally going to dishonor God. You're going, God, I know you did enough, but I want to do this just to show you how much I love you. Well, if you loved him, you would just relax in what he's done for you. It's like Brenda, when I come home, she does all these special things, beds made with new sheets, and, you know, I mean, I recognize that she did all that to please me. Well, how about if I said, well, let me make it up with my own sheets I've been using. Brenda would say, well, you don't like the sheets I've got on the bed? You don't like how I made it up for you? And it would dishonor her. So it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's told you, you've been circumcised. You've been baptized. You just weren't baptized in water. You were baptized, but not in water. You were made partakers of his death, and not only that, you were made partakers of the resurrection. And he's forgiven you. Why won't you walk in that? And people go, well, I just think you need to do some things after you're saved that, you know, what more could you do than honor him than to relax in what he's already done for you? There is nothing. You understand that? There is nothing that is going to honor God more if you'll just let God be who he is and let God save you. And then he says, of course he talks about the law in 14. I won't do this whole thing. But in verse 16 he said, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day. Or, well, you're not celebrating Christmas. You're not celebrating the Sabbath. You're not, I mean, can you imagine the Pete's not being here on a Sabbath? Whew. Let no man judge you in meat or in drink or respect of a holy day. You understand? What do you do? or whether you don't, it doesn't matter. You know, people always make me think when I preach on the holy day, they think I'm putting down people who put down Christmas or do Christmas, that they actually do the Christmas that I put them down. And in fact, over the holidays is probably some of our worst separation. People say, well, I just don't want to take my kids anywhere that don't celebrate Christmas. And the pressure is on. The pressure is on. And I'm not telling you to or not to. What I've got to do as a preacher is what? Preach the word. All right, so we're going to start dealing with some of these issues Sunday. And the first one is the date or the time he was born. We ought to deal with that issue. Amen? Do you realize that there have been many, many gods with 12 disciples born on December 25th and none of them were godly? The Persian gods had a born of a virgin on the December 25th. You know how many years before Christ? 600 years before Christ. And he had 12 disciples. Isn't that fascinating? That's fascinating. And so what Satan has done has got the whole thing mixed up where people aren't good enough students to find out the date or the time. Could anybody tell me how to find out the date and time? All right, so how do you figure that out? That's good. Well, close, but it's First Chronicles. But I'll let you go. I mean, the courses are in there. But then there's other things as well. And so as you study these things out, you start to become a Bible student instead of someone just sucked in tradition. Now, you know that you got to beware of philosophies and vain deceits after the traditions of men. All right, hold on to here and go to Jeremiah. Now, I am not preaching on Christmas. Jeremiah 10. Tell me when you get there. And so listen. You're there? Well, that's good to know. You're there too? Are you there, Carlton? Hannah? You are not there. How can you read your Bible if you don't have it open? You are a good listener, but you need to learn to turn the pages. It's good for you. That's good. All right. Well, turn the pages too if you can. I'll slow down and make sure. Hear ye the words which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Now this is some 600 years before Christ ever came. For thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathens. The heathens can't be a good thing, right? And be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathens are dismayed at them. Have you ever heard of astrology? Kind of. I'm an Aquarius with a moon of Libra. No, I don't know what I am. But you know, that kind of stuff. For the custom of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, a workman with the hands of the workman with an axe. And they deck it with silver and with what? And they fasten it with nails and hammers that it move not. They are upright as palm trees, and they speak not. They must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also in them is it in them to do good. Now, what does that sound like to you? It does sound like that to you? Renee, it doesn't sound like that to you, though, does it? It is an idol. But you got to be careful, because what Satan has done, for the most part, is try to add just a little bit of leaven. Because how much leaven leaveneth? A little leaveneth a whole lump. So you got to be cautious of what you say and do, and teach. So we're going to get in those issues just a little bit more on Sunday, but primarily starting with the date. We're going to start with the date. And we're going to deal with all the issues that I can basically, and then Larry will have some more literature for you to read. Maybe by Sunday you'll have those here, if you don't have one. And you can read up. But let me tell you this. I'm not here to put down or put up or lift down. Whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Y'all understand? And I'm not here to judge you. Look in Romans 14, and that's where I want to end tonight. It's going to be kind of a short sermon because I just wanted to kind of give a prelude to what we're doing. But, you know, let me tell you, there is a lot of people that name the name of Christ that over the next 3 or 4 days, they're going to get plastered with liquor. Now, how is that godly? You know, I understand saying, oh, I want to serve the Lord. I want to worship the Lord with this holiday. I'm okay then. Then don't allow liquor near your place or drunkenness. Right? I'm okay with that as long as you uphold the other aspects of the holiday. And why is it that everybody goes and buys things for each other, but they spend very little money giving it to the Lord? That's kind of weird to me. What a hypocrite. Well, it's his birthday. Yeah, but we're just going to give gifts to each other. Forget the church. I've been at pastoring this church for, I'm talking, 22 years. And every December, giving goes like that. Isn't that weird? If it's a holiday to celebrate Jesus, don't you think it should sometime at one time or one year or one mark go the other direction? Don't you think that's the way it should? I mean, we're buying gifts for we're buying gifts for people we don't even like. And yet the one that saves us, we just kind of, well, you know. Isn't that weird? That's a little weird. Beware of traditions of men. They don't always turn out as godly as people think, as in Colossians chapter 2:8. Why would he be warning us of traditions of men? Because they distract us really from the truth. Just like, why did they pick December 25th? The winter equinox. And the heathens make a big deal out of the winter equinox. It's the winter solstice. And I'm telling you, that's a big part in pagan worship. Why did they pick the feast days, like the Feast of Ingathering or the Feast of Tabernacle, which would have been around September or October? You see, there's something that is drawing away from the truth. Y'all understand? There's something that's causing it. It's not circumcision. It's not bad. It's just something that will draw you and vary you away from the truth. And then people don't even know what really happened. Like, where was Jesus when Herod ordered all the babies to be murdered? He was in the house. Where? Nazareth. I mean, nobody even knows this. And you know why? Because they've been telling the story wrong so long that people believe it. He was 2 years old. That's why he killed everybody. And they couldn't get the spot down to a year. Yeah, absolutely. Trying to destroy him. And what was Mary and Joseph doing in Jerusalem? Well, when would they have done that? At the Feast of Ingathering, when they brought all their things before the Lord. It certainly wouldn't have been. The whole story gets messed up. All the doctrine. And I'm okay if we're going to say, okay, we're celebrating. Tell the story right. Study it out in your Bible. I mean, my goodness, you're a Christian. Study the birth of Christ out. Well, that's because there's three gifts. Bible never says how many wise men there were. There was a whole caravan. And the Star of Bethlehem, I got a hint. It wasn't a star. It was an angel. Why could an angel lead somebody for 2 years from the east to the west following a star if it disappeared every night? There you go. Oh, we got to camp during the day. I can't see that star. And how did the star stand right above the manger? He stood, the Bible says. Every aspect of it. And you know what? A little leaven leaveneth the what? Whole lump. I know that. Listen, I don't mind anybody celebrating the birth of Christ. Y'all understand? Not at all. Just get it right. Don't get it wrong. Say, well, I'm celebrating the birth of Christ. It happened on December 25th. Well, then you're, here, look at me. You're stupid. Satan has deceived you. You understand? Don't be simple. You don't have to be deceived. Everything's going to be cleared up by Sunday. At least in my mind. Maybe not in yours. But you all understand? You've got to know the facts. Once you know the facts are the facts. Celebrate the facts. I'm okay with that. Y'all understand? I don't know a single person that knows the story very well. The truth about the birth. The whole deal. I mean, we've been told the lie so long, we believe it. Go to Romans 14. Did I tell you? Go to Romans 14. Well, I'm ready to preach it now. I'm just warming up. Oh, Romans chapter 14, verse 13. Let us not therefore what? Judge one another anymore. But judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and I'm persuaded by the Lord Jesus there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemed it anything to be unclean, to him it is what? Unclean. Now, do you all understand that? People say all the time, well, I'm going to serve to the Lord. I don't care if you decide that March is the day you're going to celebrate it. Just get the story right. The truth shall make you free. Who's the father of lies? You can assure yourself that Satan has been involved with that thing. I mean, think about it. Santa Claus. That's an interesting character all of himself, isn't it? I mean, Santa Claus freaks me out. He knows when you are sleeping. He knows when you are good. He knows when you are bad. So be good for goodness sake. Well, if you could have been good, then Christ wouldn't have had to die for you. That's right. He is. They have taken the image and this one. Have you ever thought why his hat looks like this? That's a one horn hat. Unity, it's a crown. Has to prove with unity oneness. One kingdom. Very interesting. His clothing, scarlet, made unto royalty. It's weird, isn't he? He's a king. He knows everything. He's omnipresent. Huh? No, he is. He watches these little kids he knows that these two little kids are stinkers. They've missed every year. He is the God of this world. And people have got to deceive. Now, I'm okay with celebrating the birth. Y'all understand? Just get all the facts of the birth correct. Just know the truth. I'm okay with that. But you know what? People are celebrating what they know not. Neither can you go back to a place you've never been. You can't worship something. You know, and John, he says, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You can't worship God in falsehood. There is no way that you can come to God and say, well, God, I'm offering this pig unto you. I know that he says, I don't take pigs. No, exactly. And so my problem is in with the day or the holiday that we're about to, it's that how it's approached and how they say it's so godly, and yet there's more drunkenness and DUIs and unbelievable. So, go back, verse 4. Romans 14:4. Now I want to read this to you. Who art thou that judges another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be upholding up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteem one day above another. Another esteem every day alike. What about you? What do you do? I'm pretty much every day alike. But if you've got to have a special day, I guess get on with it. But don't tell me you're worshiping God with a bunch of falsehood. Don't do that. That's incorrect. That's the fallacy. How many think their children ought to lie? How many teach their children that they ought to lie? Yeah, they ought to lie. Do you teach your children to lie? Niece and nephew, teach them to lie? What would you do if they lied? And yet, what do we do with Christmas? We lie. And then we tell them not to. You know what we call that in biblical terms? Hypocrites. See, I have no problem with putting up a tree. I have no problem with you taking the day and saying, this is the day I'm reflecting on this. I have no problem with that. You all understand? Just don't do it in false truth. If you do it, say, I'm going to study it out and find out why I celebrate. And if you don't know, you ought to join a Sunday, 10 and 11, coming up. Why? Because I'm going to go over how you can know when it is. So then you can say, hey, look, I know how to prove it. You know why? My preacher showed me and I wrote it down and I can prove it to you. I would say 4, 5, 6 copies. You know, maybe I got them, but, you know, just in case. And I'm not putting down, but hey, listen. One guy's going to steam one day above another and another one's going to steam them all alike. Who's the best? No, watch. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord. He doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. Y'all got it? Listen. Romans 14 was that where we were just at? Oh, that is terrible when that happens. You look down and you go, I know. I've done it 100 times myself. The point that I'm trying to make is, hey, if you regard it unto the Lord, then get all the facts right. I'm okay with that. Y'all understand? But yeah, you got to be cautious on what you believe. I'm just amazed at people who says, well, as Christians, we ought not to watch those movies. And yet then they, you know, there are movies that are not appropriate. Amen. You can say whatever you want. That's a fact. But it's not any more inappropriate than celebrating a lie. You see, you can't say this is black over here and this is white, and then later because you want to, this is now black and this is white. You can't switch them. You're either truth all the time, or you just pick and choose whatever you want. I mean, what's the difference between baptism or circumcision? One church does that. Well, I mean, unless you're going to lay down the truth and say this is the truth, well, when you start to know the Bible, the truth shall make you free. You don't have to struggle with this. This is not something you're going to struggle with. Yeah, exactly. 2 Corinthians 6:14. I mean, so we're going to get into this. But just understand, you can esteem one day above another, and that's okay with the Lord. What is not okay, go to John. I think that's John 4:24. I'll get there and check it out. 4:24, I think it is. Isn't that where he says, or 22? Yeah. I think it's 4:24. 24. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You can't worship God in lies. You can't come to God in lies and say, I'm worshiping the Lord. You cannot worship God by saying, I'm going to honor God and be baptized in water. That's, you can do it, but you're not going to get rewards for it. You got it? Say, well, I think I'm going to be circumcised to please the Lord. Well, you just lost the rewards. See, the thing that the thing that you want to do with God is be honest with Him. You know, people say, well, Barry, how are you? I'm rotten. I'm not worth the gunpowder to blow me into hell. I'm not any good. You know what I'm trying to do? Reflect the truth of Scripture. Now, do you not think in my own mind sometimes I think I'm something? Yeah. But I'm not a lot. You know? I'm not allowed to say what I really think. I can only preach the Word. That's uncomfortable sometimes. You know why? There's a big mirror up here saying, don't you say anything that ain't true. You're looking at the guy and the guy's looking back at you. Come on, you could really sound intelligent if you mentioned this or this. Yeah, but I can't prove it. Oh, go ahead. Y'all understand? You cannot worship God in a lie. That's all I'm saying tonight. Y'all understand? And whether you figure this thing out or you pray about this, you cannot worship God in a lie. Can you have your kids' gifts? Yeah, they can have gifts. I gave my gifts all year long. But if you feel like you got to give it on a special day, give it. But don't say it's for Christ that I give you this. You know, if you're going to give something to Christ, there's a pot back in the back. Everything you spend on Christmas, you ought to give at least that to the Lord. Amen? How about the food? I bet you, Brenda went in the grocery store and I believe that woman got lost. She said, you wouldn't believe that place. Said people were in there like a madhouse. Spending $200, $300, $400 on food they didn't have. So they can do that. And you know what? None of that went into the plate. It's going to go into their bellies. I don't get how you say you're worshiping the Lord. It's weird, isn't it? And then we're going to sit down. You know what he said about gluttons? They always ask me, you know, my dad's asked me many, go show up for Thanksgiving or Christmas. They say, will you bless this food? I said, Lord, keep us from eating all these calories. Lord, put a restrainer on our mouths. Let us not eat. When I go over to Lisa's house, I used to have to say, Lord, chasten my mouth. She put out some desserts, and I don't care about turkey. Buddy, I like the desserts. I ain't kidding you. If it's got chocolate in it or cream or eggnog cheese, oh my gosh. We're like, have you looked at all of us? Look around. We're like little oinky oinkies. Piggy, squeal, squeal, squeal. And we're going to get over that meal, and we're going to pig out like, oh, this is, I love Jesus. I think I shouldn't eat that second piece of cake, but. Amen. Oh, but we're godly. Yeah, man, that Miss Holloway. I mean, I've seen her scarf it down like me. We're like fighting over it. We love food. We love pigging out. It ain't worship. It's gluttony. Got to look it up in Proverbs, see what God thinks about it. So we'll only do it twice a year. Baloney. Thanksgiving, Christmas. You know what? You want to see gluttony? Invite Stan and Wayne over. More of them boys can eat. What? Oh, he eats like a little bird. All day long. No, hey, come on, I'm joking. But you know what? Don't get too offended. You know what? She wanted me to stop before I got to her. I'm just, you all understand, we're all gluttons, aren't we? How do you worship God in gluttony? Or drunkenness? Right? I'm glad that wasn't on. You know what? Wouldn't a nice little measly salad be great for Christmas Day? Or fasting. And then how about taking down the food that you were going to eat, all that junk, and feed the poor? I mean, it's just like weird. Ah, I'm glad I'm not like other men. I fast twice a week, but today I'm going to eat like I've never eaten before. I had Larry over one time, and Larry's the only one Lisa's that can behave himself. That's why Lisa doesn't invite us over anymore, because we just can't behave ourselves. But Larry's like, oh, I'll just take a little piece. But I'll take one to go, too. You know, something like that. He's pretty self-contained, man. That kind of freaks me out. I eat half a thing of oatmeal and yogurt in the morning. Huh? Bring it on, you know. Whether you celebrate the day or not, whatever you do, don't say you're worshiping the Lord unless you know the truth about it. It's okay. I don't care what you do. I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to sit over there and say, William, I'm not going to do that. You know what? In your own mind, you need to know whether it's unto the Lord or not. And if it is unto the Lord, then you need to take time to worship and find out the truth of that. Well, that's what we're going to do Sunday. So from that point on, you will not, there won't be any doubt in your mind to what it is you do. And whatever you do, we'll be okay with the Lord. Y'all appreciate you joining us on the internet. Hope it was a blessing.